When it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to LATalkRadio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Backdoor Smoking Break Guy.
Mr. Backdoor Smoking Break Guy.
When there's lots of hard work to be done, where can you be found? Out back by the loading dock near the dumpster, giving your lazy butt another butt break.
Welcome to Marlboro Country.
That's right, Mr. Backdoor Smoking Break Guy. Smoke 'em if you got 'em, and you've always got 'em, and you're always smoking 'em.
Hey, boss, I'll be right.
Snow, rain, freezing cold, or sweltering hot, it doesn't matter to you. You're out there every 10 minutes taking a 9-minute break.
When do you get any work done? Yeah.
So the next time you're at the service counter, unable to get any service because no one's at the counter, walk around back, flick your lighter, and raise it in salute to Mr. Backdoor Smoking Break Guy, a real American hero.
Mr. Backdoor Smoking Break Guy.
Hey, dude, can I bum one? Cool. I mean Winston.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning. It's Tuesday. Welcome to June 15th. It's your host with a sexy voice and the other sexy voiced host.
That's true, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard from people that they think you have a sexy voice.
Really?
A few of them. And we have one in the studio.
That's
we'll
cool.
get to her in a second.
Yes.
She said that you got a little bit of a sexy voice going on.
Yeah, that's why I said that, because I never thought of myself that way. But, you know.
As a sexy
what
voice
the hell?
Sexy?
Yeah, sexy voice.
Okay. Do you feel sexy, though?
Yeah, very much so. Why wouldn't I?
No, I'm just asking.
Even if I was ugly, I'd feel sexy because I'm into sex a lot, and you know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
So that's how it works. Tell me something. Were you listening to a religious station on your way here?
It's spiritual, yeah.
Yeah, spiritual.
Oh,
my ass.
Did
I could hear the guy.
I was bouncing it like it was jamming to a rap song.
Yeah, you had it so loud I could hear it throughout the parking lot.
I think it echoes in the parking lot. Does that stress you out?
No, it doesn't stress me out, but I just, now I understand exactly why you are the way you are.
Because of a station?
You get your fucking brainwashed. Are you kidding me?
Because I listen to a radio station. I got my brain. I don't have independent thought.
No, you do. But I think when you, it's just like anything else, you know, if you listen
to a
lot of music, you get influenced by
the
music.
Well, I think that it's learning, and it's actually, you know, I listen to several media outlets, so it's not just one source.
Okay.
And I don't listen to it all the time.
Mm.
But you
oh,
got,
I thought so. Okay.
You got a little snapshot. Usually it's hip hop.
Oh, really? Hip hop directly from God, huh?
You never know.
No, you never know.
You never know. You never know. You never know. It was a good topic, though, today. It was a beautiful topic.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was talking about reconciling suffering in the world and believing that God is still good. Because that's the biggest thing with people.
Is that what we want to do?
No, we don't have to talk about that. I'm just saying that's what the topic was.
Oh, that's what they were talking
about.
Yeah,
it was pretty interesting because that's the biggest thing when I talk to people and God comes up is a lot of people have so much hurt and loss and pain that they look at natural disasters or things that happen in other countries and or even in their personal life and they have a hard time believing that God is good or all powerful if these things take place. And I mean, I totally relate and I think that that's probably one of the biggest stumbling blocks for people when it comes to faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually pain, you know?
Right.
I don't know.
So you don't listen to it every morning, but sometimes you do.
No, sometimes I do.
Okay. So it's a Christian radio station?
Mm-hmm. It's pretty good.
I see.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, they've got sermons. They also have commentator type shows that are more just people's you know, philosophies, yeah. things like that.
How entertaining.
Yeah, it, well, it I mean, it's some people listen to NPR. Yeah. Am I supposed to tell them that they're crazy, crazy, like, left-wing people because they listen to NPR every
yeah,
day?
You can tell them that.
I'm not going to tell them that because no. there's some truth in it.
Yeah.
So anyway, that stressed you out. Yeah. But are you getting ready for your trip?
I am getting ready for the trip.
Are you excited?
Only a few days. No, not really, but I am getting ready.
Oh, you're going to be you're gonna have so much fun.
I know. I don't know. I'm just not in the mood yet. It's the flights. That's what it is. I can't stand the flights.
Are you going to throw back a couple beverages or maybe some Ambien?
I usually don't, but maybe I will. Yeah.
You know, maybe throw back a...
But you know what? It doesn't matter how long you sleep still. 14, 16, 18 hours is a long time to be on a plane, right?
That's a long time to sleep. Yeah. That's a long time to sleep.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So, yeah, nobody can sleep that long. So you wake up and then it's just like an immigrant ship. That's what it's like, you know? Shit on the floor, kids running around.
Oh,
you
man.
Know? Yeah. Anyway, let's bring in your guest. You brought us a beautiful guest here this morning.
She is fabulous, everybody. She's one of my favorite people that I've recently met a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
I met her at the Los Angeles Comedy Shorts Festival, full of life. The first time we met, she's with her and her husband and a really good friend, and they came.
You brought a whole entourage with you today.
Oh, man, they're awesome people.
That's cool. You can talk now.
Okay, cool.
And the first thing she said is like, oh, you're really crazy. Hey, what's going on? You want a shot? It was
well,
not like that.
Resist it.
Yeah, like she needed one, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I sat down. I straight up had some sake.
Yeah, we had sake. Yeah. Well, she was amazing. She was all dressed up, and she had this energy about her. You know, that I had to draw her closer to me. Like, come on.
Yeah, we had a blast. Yeah, full of, and she's just so amazing and full of life. And we've actually, Sarah and I went down. I did a job in San Diego, and we went to Laguna in the, her area where she lives, and we stayed with her and had a blast.
Yeah. Those are the legendary South Africans, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you made my day because I love South Africans.
Oh, do you?
So, yeah.
Cool.
So you guys have a lot of
there,
good
right?
energy. Yeah, I lived there for a year in Johannesburg.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
hey?
I did.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so have you been following the World Cup, soccer?
No, I'm not into that. Thank you very much. You know, I'm not into sports at all.
Yeah.
You know?
Thank you very much.
But I do,
thank you very much.
But I do like the fact that they're holding it there, and the opening ceremonies were nice as well.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So I got a glimpse of that.
Yep.
And that was pretty cool. So you didn't introduce her by name, though.
Oh, this is Carolyn.
Thank you, Carolyn.
What's the last name I was?
It's Wiedemann. Actually, Americans say Wiedemann, but it's actually Wiedemann.
Right. Oh, I know. I know what it looks like. Yeah. The W. Yeah, I think I'll butcher it.
Cara and Sam, if you mind, can I say hello to all my friends around
of
the world
course,
that I hope
of course,
are tuned
yeah.
in?
Oh, please
morning.
Do. Plug
they
it,
they all better be. Otherwise, I'm going to start swearing at them when I get the next opportunity to chat to them. We have like South Africa listening in. We have England. We have Denmark.
Really? Wow.
We have Holland.
Uh-huh.
We have Oman. We have... New Zealand and Australia.
That's awesome.
You can say hi to anybody. So, yeah, feel free to say hi.
So how's it, all of you guys? I hope you're all well.
Yeah, how's it?
You know that word.
How's
I see you just now, which means could be now or another
just now,
5 days.
Just now is like yesterday. Or no, actually in the future.
Exactly, exactly. You'll say to people here in America, you know, I'll see you just now.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, but we're saying goodbye. And I don't know when I'm going to see you again. And that would always confuse them.
Yeah.
You know, oh, well, we'll see you just now. And they're like, but we're leaving and we don't know when we're coming back. And she said, we're going to see her just now.
Yeah, they're not getting it.
They don't get it.
Yeah.
No, but just now means when we pick up where we left off.
Right.
We went to a party at her house. She's like, just come on over. Don't bring anything.
Oh, is she the one that touched your genitals?
Yeah, she gave me
a
vagina rub.
Oh, my God. Now I really like her.
I said, she gave me a good vagina rub. Did you hear, like, she was like,
so, the funny thing is, on the way here, I said to my husband Etienne and to Bruce, I said, you know, I've got to do something funky to Sam here because now, you know, you've heard about me and the vagina rub and all that.
Right.
So I thought, well, I'll come in. I'm going to tickle your testicles give you a nipple
sounds
squeeze
good to me,
or, you know. Or
she's just a loving woman. Yeah. Let me tell you, just love. We went to her
that's
house.
That's right. You do owe me a ball tickling or something.
And watch out, Carolyn, because he will take you up on it. Watch out. Seriously, watch out. She said, come on over. We're just going to have friends over. And so we showed her. She said, don't bring anything. Very, very generous. We got there, beautiful home, and just laid back. And there was people. Your really great friend was cooking. They made dim sum. They had tons of big spread of food, and we were just like hungry. We were like throwing back wine, having a good time. And it was a lot of South Africans, but it was very diverse, the group of friends that you had.
Yeah, we had Chinese, we had South African, we had American.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think.
So you're an international type of girl.
Yes,
right?
Very much so. Yeah,
love that's
Europe.
Good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you have friends in England and you said the Netherlands. And,
yes,
wow,
all around.
Awesome.
Yeah, everywhere where I've mentioned either family or really good friends.
Oh, really? Have you traveled a lot?
Yes, we have. We've really? Actually been very fortunate to travel a lot of Europe while we've lived in the United States.
Wow.
We did 40 states of America before we moved here.
Are you serious?
Which was
That's
also
a lot.
Road trip, you know.
Yeah.
It was very cool.
Some people don't
months.
Even get out of their hometown here, you know, and you've seen most of the country.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. It's amazing. Although, you know, an interesting statistic that is happening now at the World Cup soccer is 130,000 Americans are there.
Oh, really?
That's 40% of the people that are going to the games.
Are you serious?
Are there in South Africa supporting the World Cup.
So maybe it will catch on.
So Americans are well-traveled. You know, right. You go anywhere over in Europe and you see a lot of Americans. You hear a lot of American accents wherever you go.
Right.
Mm. You know, so I think it's just different states that travel. Like California is very cosmopolitan.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
A lot
exactly.
of people travel in.
But you go to Iowa and they stay on the farm for the rest of their life.
Yeah, never leave their state.
Yeah.
What am I, Daniel Tosh said, you know what? He's like, this is Dan, really funny comic. He says, he's like, the Midwest is where you go to let your dreams die. He's like, it's the outer region of the U.S. where you go for your dreams. And he's like, the Midwest is where you go to die. He's like, yeah. And he goes, I'd tell that joke in freaking, you know, Ohio while they're eating their fried cheese balls. You know, the fried mayonnaise balls is what he said. And we're playing people. We love you at Ohio and Idaho.
And Idaho, too.
And Idaho.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I can't wait to get to Idaho.
Yeah. So you've been to 40 states. Do you have favorite?
And you know, California was my favorite.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So that's why you ended up here?
Absolutely. We started off in Colorado, Denver, and it was 2.5 years too long.
Really?
Unbelievable. It's in the middle of nowhere, and the winters were just too strong and long for us, you know, coming from a sunny country. And when we came to California, when we had traveled through California, we loved it so much. We spent probably 6 weeks traveling in California. And we just decided, what the hell are we doing here in Denver? You know, let's just get the hell out of here. And we were there when the Columbine thing was going down, so that didn't help either.
You're like, that's
how did you decide on Denver in the first place, though?
Well, oh, God, such a long story, Sam, but I'll try and get it short. My husband actually had a business in South Africa, and through his business in South Africa, he used a company that was supplying him with software. And he bought them out in Denver. They had started a company and it was going down. Okay. And my husband said, well, let me take it over.
Right.
And he came out on an L1 visa and I was on an L2. I wasn't allowed to work, but he was.
Right.
And he ran this company for 2.5 years.
I see. Okay. So it was a business decision, right?
Yeah. And then got the green cards. And then we went home to South Africa for 6 months.
Nice.
And then we came back and said, California is where we're going to live.
Yeah.
So I really just love the adventurous spirit. And it's just... It's so effervescent. Like, I feel like I'm with Dora the Explorer right now. You know what I'm
saying? That's a huge compliment.
Yeah, I do. I tell you what, with Carolyn, she's got such energy. She's like, nah. We were talking in her thing, and she's like, here, you got to. She's like, go to California. She's like, it's amazing. It's almost like.
She doesn't talk like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
It doesn't matter.
At all.
She talks a lot better than that, but I'm having fun here. Don't rain on my damn parade. But she's telling me, she's like, California is just so similar to, you said it's similar to Africa.
Yes, very much. It looks a lot like South Africa. Except we just don't have the amounts of people that we have
Thank
here
goodness,
in California. Yeah. Well, it's good and bad.
Yeah.
What part of Africa looks like? You said South Africa, all of South Africa?
Yes, okay. A lot of the coastline looks a lot like the coastline here, running right from Natal all the way up to Cape Town. Did you ever travel?
Yeah. And Cape Town was definitely my favorite. Yeah? I think it's everybody's favorite. It's such a beautiful place. Yeah, but we went through the Karoo, which is sort of like the desert there. But on the way back, we sort of like took the
garden route, which is called the garden route,
And
you did Plettenberg Bay.
Yeah, and the wine and everything on the way. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It seems to be... And this is me not knowing anything, so I'm gonna ask all the dumb questions so we can get it out. But it seems to be one of these just most complicated, continents with just such diversity and so many great, beautiful resources and just so exotic. And then there's so much political struggles, and then there's civilian turmoil, things like that, all set against some of the most beautiful landscape with the most beautiful animals. Isn't that interesting? I mean, I wonder how that living dynamic is. You know, you said you lived there during the revolution.
I think a lot of it goes on to the fact that the place is so beautiful and the people that are there are really beautiful as well.
Incredible.
Did you not feel that energy?
I felt very, very welcome there.
Yes.
And I lived there for a year. But people there are very warm, very hospitable.
Very. I think because of the society we live in, we have so much love to give, and we've been suppressed from being able to do that,
right.
that we've now suddenly realized in the last 10 years that that's what you want to do, you know.
Yeah. So when did you guys leave there?
We left there in 97.
97,
okay.
That's really when all the violence and everything was really high.
Yep.
That's exactly when I was there. I lived there in 97.
You were living during that time?
That was when Mandela had just come into power.
Yes,
right.
And what was... God, I can't remember all the politicians there, but at the time. But I remember people were very scared. Is that still the case there?
No, you know, now I don't live there anymore, so it's hard for me to really comment. I can only comment on what I read and what I see. And I read a lot of the New York Times, because they give really good articles and very much to the fact.
Right. As opposed to the LA Times.
Yes, exactly.
Very opinionated.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
And I don't know if it's changed. I think that the parties have changed. So now it's not anymore a political thing on black and white or the whites hating the blacks now. I think it's changed around now. And because government is so corrupt anywhere in the world, he who has the money has the power.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys are doing exactly the opposite of what they should be doing for the country.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
And they're just taking the money for themselves.
Yeah.
It's kind of the feel
I get.
That's
the African mentality, you know? I mean,
very much so.
Yeah, yeah. And they're sort of like making up for lost time as well, I think. You know, so in a way, you can't blame them. But, you know, when I saw people on their... going about their business and everything, it was amazing to see blacks and whites getting along, you know? I mean, and I've seen it quite a bit.
Yep.
So there's a lot of extremes, obviously, with the crime and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I know it's like everybody's behind electric fences, you know.
It's terrible.
Yeah, it really
terrible.
Is, you know.
When you've lived another life and you go back there and you visit, you suddenly realize how... restricted your life really
is. It really is.
I mean, I have a lot of girlfriends, and they're probably listening now and probably showing me the zap sign or the sign for saying this, but it's the truth. You know, when we went back for that 6-month holiday, that was 10 years ago, and even then, you could not stop at a red light.
Yes.
You had to go slow down, but go through it at night. You know?
At night, right.
Yeah.
I told you that before, I think, at one time.
Yeah.
Because you're afraid to be
carjacked. Petrified, yeah. And, you know, my father was a victim of a car hijacking.
Really?
Third time. And the third time, he actually ended up with a bullet wound.
Wow.
And luckily, he didn't die.
You're talking three times. Most people, that never happens in their life.
It's
been three times.
He had two practice rounds, and he used to joke and laugh about them, you know. And then it hit him with a bullet the third time. And he was so lucky. But he said one thing went through his mind, and he was like, I'm not giving these I promise I wouldn't swear, these F guys my car. There's no way. So he went through the red light and smashed his car on the other side of the road and put this BMW that it looked like a smashed up little Mini by the end of it. And the guys didn't want the car at the end, you know, but he was not going to give up his
car.
So
you're telling me he was like, hell no.
Yeah.
Sayonara, mother. So he was just like, he'd rather go out than give him the car?
Absolutely.
What is that about?
Because you probably won't come out alive anyway,
exactly.
You know? They don't want witnesses.
No, they don't want your body. And, you know, sometimes they'll push you over onto the other side of the seat and drive off.
Right.
And then discard of your body eventually when they get space. But I mean,
it's
this is
scary, you know.
Wow.
And then they'll be waiting for you to get home, right, by the garage, by the parking, and kind of sneak in. And there's a lot of them taking like hostage and stuff inside your own home, you know, and tying you up and stuff. And it's funny that you mentioned your father, because I remember one thing that somebody told me there, and it's like everybody knows everybody who's been a victim, at least.
Yes.
If you are not a victim, at least you know somebody.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And if you're out tonight and you go home, you might be scared to become a victim of something when you get home.
Right.
You know, so a lot of people don't go out in the evenings.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I mean, I'm speaking now. I haven't lived there in 10 years.
Yeah, so I'm sure it's changed a bit. But
life, people just put blinkers on and they go about, you know, because it's such a beautiful country.
It really is.
And I think it's very hard to leave there if you're not a traveler.
Right.
Yeah.
Honestly, you know, if you you have to have a big mouth, I guess.
Yeah.
But for you, you said part of your decision to move had to do with your children and the prejudice or things like that.
Yes, absolutely. I didn't want my kids to be brought up in an environment where they had to feel like they had to choose.
I see.
Or they had to compensate for who they wanted to be friends with. And both my girls have African Americans in their lives, you know, and the first kids that they met when they came here were African Americans.
Really?
And they connected like, you know, oil and fire. It was unbelievable. Yeah. And that's exactly what we wanted to achieve.
Really?
Without actually putting the message out there to them, because they were too young to understand,
right,
you know, but that
right.
just that genetic inside them. It's so natural because children don't look at color.
I see.
You know, they don't judge.
Right.
Yeah. They just go by warmth and love and compassion,
yeah.
you know, for one another.
So it's not like you encourage them to find black people. They just
attracted
to them. Yeah.
Yeah. And now my daughter at UCLA once again goes away from her nest, her comfort zones, mm-hmm. moves into the UCLA dorms, mm-hmm. and her first best friend, an African-American
really?
Beautiful girl. Yeah.
yeah. So you're saying when you were in South Africa that they weren't allowed to forge those relationships? Or
No. Well, when we were growing up, the Afrikaners, which I'm married to an Afrikaner.
Right.
The Dutch and German and French.
Right. As opposed to the English descendants.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yeah, yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Those are the Dutch.
Yeah, they're the Dutch, and they were the founders of
South Africa.
Africa, right.
And
so they went to schools, and then the English went to schools, and then the blacks didn't even have schools.
Right.
You know, as ridiculous as that sounds, is as true as it was. And they were not allowed to come to any of those schools. So when I was growing up, that was the format.
Yeah.
Now it's changed. Now it's all mixed, and, you know, Afrikaans can go to English, and English can go to Afrikaans. But you never found an English kid going to an Afrikaans school.
Really?
Oh, no. You know, we hated each other. It was...
Yeah.
The absolute opposites.
So you see, they're really divided, the people there. There's a lot of different groups, and they don't get along with each other. And so there's a lot of tension and a lot of that. And that's why a lot of people I know have moved away from there, you know, to Australia and Canada and England.
Yeah, and America. And
yeah, you know, because it's just... And it's unfortunate because it is a beautiful place. It could be very nice if the people learn to get along. But, you know, I mean, that's...
It seems like it's so systemic. It's so deep. It's just like in our country, we had slavery, and just, you know, it's been years and years since we've had slavery, but there's still that slavery going on,
you know.
There's residual effect. It's like it doesn't go away overnight just because people are free and have rights or whatever. It's like there's so many mentalities that have been bred. There's been there's still oppression. It's interesting how when a society kind of screws up hardcore in that way, you know, you pay for it later, like hardcore, you know.
So now everyone that's our age now is really making a real mental change to the country, to South Africa, and you can see that. You can actually see it in the World Cup soccer when you look at and I hear from my friends and that what the talk is, and that the younger generation really want to change.
Yeah.
You know, they want it to be completely dissolved, and there's no more.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're
saying governmentally speaking that there's been a lot of like...
Well, the government doesn't do.
Yeah.
No.
The
government. Don't even get me started on that.
Yeah.
Really?
the government is mostly black now, right?
Yes.
And I think what they're doing is sort of like overcorrecting. I think they're like making up for all the oppressed times and everything, you know, and they're just trying to take everything to themselves,
exactly.
you know.
Which you can't blame them in one hand, but on the other hand, you know, two wrongs don't make a right.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah.
You know? And yeah. You know, it's just like any country. In Africa is a hard continent.
It really is, you know.
the
and South Africa is not really representative of Africa. I mean, you've got a lot of wealth in South Africa, but not in the rest of the continent, you know. I think over there in Sandton, they say it's the biggest concentration of wealth in Africa, you know.
Yeah.
In this one mall, one area, you know, with businesses and...
Yep.
It's so interesting.
It's kind of like the Beverly Hills.
Yeah, exactly.
Of Los Angeles.
It sits right... adjacent to, you know, the northern part of Africa, which has so much going on. I mean, and you hear about these relief efforts and people sending aid to Africa and, you know, Save Africa or whatever it is, the different, you know, efforts that are made. What is the perspective for people that live in South Africa? I mean, South Africa's got its own problems, too.
Right.
So it's kind of like, how do you guys feel next to the other part of the continent that is?
Well, you don't really... You know, I have a lot of friends that are involved in a lot of different things that they do for the rest of Africa, especially in conservation. My one girlfriend, Tanya McKenzie, is very involved in all the nature. I have other friends that have kind of tried to help in different areas, kind of like the Peace Corps that we have here, that go over and try and do some good in Darfur and all these areas of where there's a lot of sadness. But for the most part, you know, they're busy fighting their own elements, Kira.
Yeah,
so it's
yeah.
kind of hard. It's kind of, yeah, like we don't all rush off to go and help when we had the floodings down in Louisiana.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah.
I mean?
It's the same thing, yeah.
Yeah, it's the same kind of thing.
It's kind of like, I'm just curious how that yeah. sits next to one another, you know.
Yeah.
But that's an interesting just real.
Yeah, they don't. There's a lot of Nigerians that have coming to South Africa. Have you seen the movie District 9?
I love it.
So now the prawns and the guys that are selling them the guns, those Nigerians are really is what I'm thinking. Those are the guys.
Really?
You know, there's very little hidden there as to who the prawn is.
Right.
Everyone knows who the prawn is. And those Nigerians are really in these townships doing what they were doing to the prawns, selling the guns and that to them.
Really?
It's very much...
And I heard that a lot of a lot of crime comes from Nigeria, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of scams and things like that.
I got scammed from a dude in Nigeria.
Really?
And I mean, I hate to be that dumbass girl, but I wish somebody would have told me. A few years ago, I was signed up to be a secret shopper. Nobody even told me till I already did it.
Right.
Do you know about this?
No.
They send you a check. And then you have to Western Union back some of the money, and you keep some for yourself. And then you have assignments. You have to write reviews. You have to mail off the reviews. And there's certain things you have to buy. It was very extensive.
So it's like a pyramid thing. And then you get a little chip of everyone's money.
I got a check. I had to go to my bank to cash the check.
Yeah.
And then I had to go purchase certain items. I had to write a review about a Walmart and then a Western Union. And then I had to actually, part of my job was to Western Union a certain amount of money to another city.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, it goes through like so many different dumbass people like me and then back to Nigeria, and they keep calling and they keep sending sending emails to make sure I did it. And my bank let me do it the first time, and then I went to my bank and they're like, "Ooh, this isn't right." And I'm like, "What do you mean it's not right?" They're like, "No, this isn't like, I don't know, right, whatever, the check wasn't right." And I'm like, "Well, we better figure this shit out." You know, well, long story short, I now owe the bank like $2,000. That's what happened, because it took out of my
yeah, you were drawing with against yourself.
Yeah, pretty much. Even though I didn't go through my account, I went to the bank, but they still use you as a. And well, it was a scam. Yeah, that was a big issue. And then as soon as I told somebody, I'm like, oh my gosh, you're not gonna believe what just happened to me.
Yeah.
This is such a setback. And they're like, oh yeah, I just saw that in 2020. Yeah, you should watch. You should really watch out. I was like, come on guys, you know, a little. You know, somebody needs to send me a little memo on these things. But yeah, it was Nigeria.
Yeah.
I'm not saying all Nigerians are crazy,
of course not.
But
well,
no,
you were younger and naive, or less
like
naive
a year ago.
Than you are now.
Exactly. You're a little smarter now. Now no one can take
there
it for
you
a
go.
Ride.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, now I'm like, yeah.
No easy money, huh?
Can I give you a check to cash?
Yeah. Oh, please. You're not going to get far, girl.
Yeah.
You're not going to get far.
Well, I have a bridge I'd like to sell you.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's so much crazy stuff out there. They also have a scam where they call you or email you from someone else's account. They'll hack in. And they'll say, oh, I went on a vacation. I'm stuck in England.
Yeah, I remember that.
Can you help me
one.
Out with a couple bucks?
Yeah.
Can you help me out?
Yeah.
I got a couple of those.
I know. I got a couple of those, too.
Did
you know? And then, you know, you wonder about your friend. It's like, why are they asking for money? What are they doing in Europe? You
exactly.
know? I didn't know they were there. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's because, you know what? I think as Americans, and I can call myself American now. I'm actually African-American now.
There
yeah,
you go.
You are indeed.
I'm the true protocol. And when I say
there
that to some people catch the joke and they mm-hmm. laugh, and others are like, I know they want to say it, but your skin's not black. But
yeah.
they just call, they don't have it in them to say it. You know?
Yeah.
So they kind of look you up and down. And they're like, all right, well, she's got a screw loose somewhere.
But they wouldn't like put two and two together with your accent?
Well, you'd think so. But I've been called British, Australian, and New Zealand.
Right, yeah. Because all the accents are similar when you're American, you know?
Yep.
And, yeah, but I picked up on it because I lived with South Africans
and
for a while.
And you'll know the media,
and
the
y'all,
and the
I love the accent, too.
I love it. I love that accent.
Well, when I heard you do me, I thought, oh, no.
No, you sound
great, but I just don't know how to do it.
She makes everybody sound like Schwarzenegger pretty much.
No. I think it's great. I just, you know, I don't know how to do
well,
it that
Bruce well. Well, Bruce and Etienne thought you were amazing. They thought you had the accent.
Well,
down.
If I really worked on it, I could, but it's more for humor effects. Like, yeah, like I like that. But
you get that
so
right.
I mean, like, did you watch? You watched Blood Diamond, right?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
so I was listening to what is
yaw.
It? Yeah, he'd be like, TIA, this is Africa. He'd say, this is Africa, Kruger National State Park. This is Africa. There's just little lines that I kind of got.
Yeah,
but
you could.
No, yeah, putting it all together, it's a train wreck. But
no.
But no, I really like Australia. because there's so many great people there. And I had two roommates. One was Phoebe, and she came. Phoebe, oh my gosh, she came home one day. We were roommates, and she bought new boots, and she was trying on clothes, and she's smoking her cigarettes, and she just had a bikini wax. She's on the balcony wearing just her underwear and her new boots, and she's smoking. She's like, "Kara, Kara, what's Phoebe?" She's like, "That bitch bit my vagina lip. Kara." "But my boots look pretty, don't they? My boots look so pretty."
Australian like, girls are very blunt.
Oh, they are. You know? She's like, "That bitch bit my vagina lip. Vagina." "My vagina lip." I'm like, ooh, I would never want to go there. And there goes half your stuff. Yeah,
yeah, no kidding.
Have you ever had that happen?
You know, yes. I've
Oh my gosh.
Thought I'd be smart and do it before we went camping one year in Mozambique.
Oh, and you did it. Do it yourself,
job. Oh my
job.
God, what a nightmare.
Yeah.
It was a nightmare. And camping, because there was no hot water.
Really?
So you couldn't even soothe yourself off. It was just, it was a nightmare. So
my my aunt, who, if she's listening, I'm sorry, but I'm telling everybody, Deborah Kimbrough.
Might as well give her name. Yeah, you can give out her address, too.
No, she's going to get so mad, but hopefully she's not listening. Oh, I can't help it, Deborah. You know me. I go for the, I can't hold it. Here we go. So she did a do-it-yourself job, and it didn't go well. And she said that she didn't, I mean, and I was like, I said, "This is your first time doing this. Get a professional to go down and work it out.
Yeah.
Like, just don't go, you know, mosey."
What are we talking about? Shaving or
no waxing?
Oh, waxing.
Yeah. And
she was gonna do it herself.
She did herself, and it didn't. Some of it stuck to the, some of it.
Oh,
it came
God.
Out in patches,
yeah.
And then some of it actually stuck to her skin.
Yeah.
Wow. And then she said she put her panties on, and like her panties would stick to some of the wax.
I know.
And she said, "Kara, it looks like somebody took a meat cleaver down there."
Oh, my God.
And then you have to, you know, my aunt actually in South Africa is a beauty, salon. She has a beauty salon. She trains girls in South Africa, gives them their diplomas, and moves them off to around the world.
Right.
And I always used to go there as a young girl and be the guinea pig, you know, for anything that needed to be happened. If there was massages or nails or even waxing, do the wax.
As long as
someone's
on,
working on me, I'm happy.
Yeah.
And I used to go and have the waxes done, and they would always put your panties, and depending on what kind of wax you wanted, and then you'd put paper towel on the outside of your panties and inside your panties, so that if the wax gets on there, you're not pulling half your pubic hairs off, or you don't want them off.
Right. Jeez.
Because that's what happens with the wax.
Yeah.
You know, it gets everywhere, especially if you're trying to do it yourself.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it. I had a friend. This is really bad. I knew a girl that she did it herself with hot wax, burnt herself, had to get a skin graft.
Really?
It was like such severe burns they had to.
Imagine.
I'm like, that to me, I mean, not that I would sue, but that's a lawsuit. Like, she just.
Oh, totally. That's like a McDonald's hot coffee, right?
Yeah.
Except it's wax.
Caution, this is really hot in a really delicate area.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm telling you, it's so hard being a woman, you know, having to endure all these different things, you know.
Not if you live in Europe, then you just let it all grow out.
Yeah, exactly.
Which can also look beautiful, you know.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of beautiful women in Barcelona and along the beach there in barrettes. The women are so natural and beautiful.
Do they shave their legs or no?
No. Some of them do and some of them don't.
You see, that's a little too much, you know?
But you don't even notice it eventually.
Really?
Because it just blends into their beauty.
Mm. Oh, really?
You know? I don't know. Well, I mean, I'm not a male, so I don't know how much of a
tool it is. I like pubes and stuff, you know, but not leg hair, you know. So it depends. Yeah. I guess some people are into hairy.
Are they all natural in Israel? Or?
No.
Oh, okay, so it's not like.
It's very much like here, you know.
So, but like Europeans, I mean, that's what they're used to. So it's like it's considered beautiful, and it's because I know what's attractive is not universal. It's kind of like what you've grown up with and what you've seen generally. Like they think it's weird that we shave.
Yeah.
Our pits. Yeah. I have a friend from Germany, and she told me, you know, tampons have an applicator, so you put it in and pop it up, you know, and then. Pop it out. Like there's just like there's a whole like little casing.
Culture,
There's a casing that gets it up there. You don't have to mess with it, right?
Mm.
And they use the natural ones what are just like these little cotton bullets.
Right, without the applicator.
And you put it in with your finger. And I remember going. She gave me one. I was like, "What the hell is this?"
Yeah.
And she goes, she's like, "Get a babe." She's like, "Whatever her accent is." she's like, "You just use it like this." I was like, no. Where's like the lock and load part? Where's the part where it, you know, freaking belays it and bungee jumps it all the way up there?
Well,
I don't want.
You cleanse your hands.
Well, she's like, "No, you've got to do it yourself." I'm like, "Look how big my finger is." Anyway, I'm like, so I got to travel up there when a river runs through it. I got to pop it up there, and then that's traumatic to
it's
take my finger.
It's a fast process. Yeah, it wasn't fast. You don't sit there and dawdle, Kara. In and out. It's kind of like people that take a piece of material to the toilet with them to read.
Just, yeah.
You know, I've tried to do that. I just can't do that. It's like you're in and out.
Yeah. Kara doesn't know that.
No, some men like to go in there and have a good read. You know?
I know. I used to do that when I was a kid, but not anymore. I agree with you. It's like in and out.
Yeah. Totally.
Definitely not a pleasant process for me.
I mean, this is kind of nasty, but a good friend of mine, she said that she thinks, because her boyfriend, because I just think they like to sit in it. They like to sit in there and sit in it and read
disgusting.
Their books. It is disgusting.
I think it's an escape place.
I think you're right.
Because really, when you have children and they're all young, and you just want a little bit of space to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You find yourself going to the bathroom.
Place.
Yeah, you find yourself going to the bathroom and actually closing the door, and everyone kind of knows, all right, I have to behave myself for these couple minutes while mommy's in there, you know, because there's no one watching, or, you know, this is my chance to get up to something. But anyhow, you go in there for like a couple minutes of sanity. to come out and deal again.
That's true.
So maybe that's what men do.
That's what I did at my crazy jobs. I'd be like, hey, bathroom break. They're like, again, this is your 10th one in an hour. I'm like, I'm having an issue, but I would just go in there and be like, what's going on with my life? You know, I've had those moments. I really would. I go to the bathroom and just use it as a little escape.
Yeah, get, pick up all your pieces again.
Yeah, I'm like, oh man, if somebody asks for another double mocha latte times to the second power. Because I worked at Starbucks all the time. And it's like, it's
God,
a machine.
And they're also fussy with the orders.
Pissing people.
But you see, I think they're encouraged to by Starbucks. You know,
yeah,
they're saying, we'll make it any way you want.
I would get to where, I mean, I became like a parent. You feel like a parent. And I would go, you know, like tough love on them.
Yeah.
Like, we're not going to stir it for you.
Get your own sugar.
Put your own damn sugar.
You know where the cream
is. It's like you need to learn a little self-reliance. You need to learn a little. Yeah. I mean, you know, I had a friend go one time. She's like, can you heat it up? Can you put more sugars in it? Can you stir it? He goes, woman, you want me to drink it for you too?
Exactly.
I mean, it's just like, you know, just put a little elbow grease into it.
Yeah. What gets me is when they want it at a specific temperature. I mean, it's like, what the hell is this, you know? Let me just heat it up and give it to you. You know, I never know what the temperature of my coffee is.
Exactly,
you know?
But you know that it's hot, so you're not just going to take a big gulp of it.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, it's like, come on, everyone knows it's a hot beverage, so you've got to kind of treat it a little differently.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they are definitely
spoiled.
They're encouraged to be totally narcissistic and. You know, then you get these baristas that like to buddy up with some of them, and they'll be like, let me sandwich your whipped cream into your hot chocolate. They invent these techniques that aren't even real, where it's like, now I have to go and do it because, you know, bratty, you know, Susan, whatever, she wants me to do it the way Jimmy does it because Jimmy's got a crush on her. I'm like, I'm sorry, sandwiching whipped cream doesn't work in a hot beverage because guess what? You put it at the bottom of the cup, it flows to the top.
Right.
Exactly.
It's the same thing as just topping it with whipped cream.
Exactly.
You know, it was intense. Anyway, that's the hardest part of my life. That's about as hard as it got, people.
Hey,
life is good. Life is good.
Life
is really good.
Life is so good.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to take a break. We'll be back right after this.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
What you do is a good thing. You're worth it from your Sam and Karen in the morning. Pick up your phone and jump in on the conversation. Dial 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815 and get in on the fun. Now, let's get back to Sam and Karen in the morning on LA Talk Radio.
Okay, welcome back, and we have Carolyn in the studio. You're still in one piece. You see?
Oh yeah.
She said during the break her arm hurts. Tell everybody why your arm hurts.
Oh, this is so funny. So my daughter comes home from UCLA, and I want to kind of show who's boss in the house, you know. So last night we had a few glasses of wine, the whole family, and Natasha says, "Hey, Daddy, you know, do you want to arm wrestle me?" And Etienne's like, No. He's done arm wrestling. He did too much of it in his day." Yeah. And back in South Africica, we used to arm wrestle everyone. And
really?
And I was like up there. Really? I had to brag myself, even though my daughter's probably laughing at me right now. Natasha, I was up there. I was a huge arm wrestler, and I would take these guys down. You know,
really?
Etienne would love
really
it. He'd be like, "Carolyn, come on, take my daughter on. You think I'm tough? Take my daughter on, man. I mean, my wife. Take my wife on." So last night, he gets me going. He says, "Take your daughter on."
Mm-hmm.
Now, I forget that she is a number one rower at UCLA.
Oh, really?
She works out like 5 hours a day. Okay.
Oh,
you don't, she's got really strong arms.
Yeah. You don't mess with kids when they're 20 and you're 44. You know
and
what I mean?
Rowing.
It's like, you know, your day's over for that.
Yeah.
So I thought, I'm just going to show who's boss. So I start arm wrestling her, and we had a little challenge going there for a while, but then I felt like if I don't stop now, she's going to rip my muscles out of my arm, you know?
Really?
So I had to surrender.
Really?
So she actually beat me. Technically, she beat me.
Yeah, well, she's younger, you know?
Exactly.
We got to remember, we're not spring chickens anymore, you know?
Oh, man.
And now I'm paying for it.
Yeah. But are they all tall in South Africa? Because she's pushing 6 foot, people.
Yeah.
We've got Carolyn pushing 6 foot. She's in shape. She's lean. She looks like she could. Mwah. She looks like she could, you know, she looks like she's large and in charge. She could take care of business. You know what I mean? I would have you on my team in Survivor is what I'm saying.
Thank you.
I would. I'd be like, "Hey, Carolyn, can you go climb the coconut tree or something? Come get us some coconuts."
I'd eat all the worms and all the and all the Christmas beetles and that. I did that in Denver because the woman used to irritate me there.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd sit with our kids and watch our kids play. And those, you know, when your kids are younger, you go to the play.
Mm-hmm.
You go with, and you have to sit there with the boring mothers.
Right.
Mm.
And, you know, in South Africa, we used to have a farm, and all my girlfriends would come with their children, and the mothers would get plastered, and we'd have a party, and eventually the men would join us at 5 o'clock after work.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have a barbecue. We'd have a braai. It's called
a braai.
And the braai would go on until 12 at night, but the husbands would come there like, "Oh, my God, do we have to go to this? Because all the girls are going to be wasted."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they get there, and we're on a buzz, and we're dancing and swinging around and having fun, and the kids are having fun, and everyone's fed and happy. So when I moved to Denver, I thought this culture would continue.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it didn't. You know, you go and you sit and you look at each other and you watch your children play.
Yeah. You should see her face.
And they don't even offer you a glass of water, never mind a glass of wine, you know?
Right.
So I was like, "Oh, this is so boring." So I used to take a stick, because the chimpanzee that I was brought up with in South Africa, they take sticks and stick it into ant and into termite holes.
Really?
And they pull them out, and then the stick is full of termites and ants. And I would take a stick and let the ants get on it, and then I'd lick it through my lips like this.
Oh, my God.
Are you
kidding? Take all the ants and eat them. Yeah. And the kids were like, "Oh, my God. Did you just see what your mom just did, Sonia?" And Sonia's, "Yeah, she does it all the time. You eat all the insects all the time."
So you grew up eating insects. I mean, does it hurt? I mean, do the ants bite your mouth or anything?
You know, I've never heard an ant complain.
She's giving him a good home.
They don't want their money back, is what they're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
But one of them never said, no, don't take me, and they bit your lip or something?
Yeah, nothing. Some of them were a little bitter in Denver. They tasted bitter. You know?
Oh, but really?
So you still do it?
Yeah, I was doing it in Denver. Yeah.
Why
and
are
now,
you doing that?
She's from South Africa, man. That's how we roll. She's like, "You're not going to bring me some damn wine. I'm going to eat a termite and make you watch."
You know the June beetles that you get here? June beetles. We call them Christmas beetles because we get them in December in South Africa.
Isn't those big brown ones?
Yeah. With the long hairy legs.
Right. And they come and they fly into your house and stuff. Yeah.
Exactly.
I used to play tennis with them, you know.
Yeah.
Because they fly up in the air and you can't get rid of them. So I would just like take like a magazine or something and just kind of
You're not talking about the big fruit beetle.
Oh, is that what I'm talking about?
Are you talking
about? No, about this.
That's a Christmas. That's a June beetle. Yeah. Right. And they're very crunchy.
Yes.
And I've done that a couple of times here in California.
Oh, gross. You should go on Fear Factor or on Survivor.
My money's on her.
She would win.
My money's on her, So you growing up, you guys, it's just like whatever. It's like you're one with nature. You eat whatever.
Crazy people like Carolyn.
But you would do this with the moms. So
yes.
Mom culture, did you find it boring in the U.S.? It's just a little bit...
Yes, very sterile and very mm-hmm. to the point of where they all have their books out.
Right. Mm.
You know, and competing mm-hmm. with one another. And everyone wants their kids to be Einstein.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just like, get on with it. Let them play in the mud. Let them eat the mud. Let them eat the earthworms.
Yeah.
It's
unfortunate, but many people try to live vicariously through their kids, you know, and that's why they push them into show business and mm-hmm. things like that. They don't really think about the kids, you mm-hmm. know, and it's, you're right. You're right.
I don't know. I mean, not that we haven't had a wonderful life yet, but mm-hmm. I tell you, Denver was not it.
No. Huh?
It's interesting. My cousin just moved from Denver. She was over it, you know. But you always think of Colorado as a very pretty state.
It is pretty. I mean, mountains.
Yeah, but you're saying it just was just, what was it, just too, like, just clinical?
They don't know any, none of them, that's a good example of traveling. You mm-hmm. want to talk about travelers. Mm-hmm. They don't travel.
No.
You know? And all the ones that left California to go live there are mm-hmm. like, oh, Colorado is so much nicer. Sorry, that's my phone.
Yeah. Don't worry about it. We're not.
I was wondering about that. I thought we're not near a church or anything.
Oh, it's nice.
I'm sorry.
It's a nice little thing.
It's, okay. It's probably my mom texts me, Carolyn, you're too loud. You need to quieten down.
No.
When I told her I was coming on the radio show, yes, mommy, you better be listening to this. She says to me, try not to swear. And I'm like, you know, the last thing, when people tell me not to do it, that's when
you'll
I'm going to
do it anyway.
Like the ants and the beetles, that's when I'm going to do it.
I love it. It's rough. That's hard.
Don't tell
huh?
me no.
Yeah.
It's hard. I told her, she said she's trying so hard not to cuss. And I said, you know, you can. But she's like, no, if I start, it won't stop. Yeah. And she's got, you know, you said that you're trying to clean it up for radio. It's hard because I said, when I lived in the Bible Belt, it's culturally not acceptable to just use F words all the time.
Yeah.
And it'd be normal. You know, here it's like, it's not an offense, it's just an adjective.
Right.
Whereas there, you only use those words if you're trying to offend somebody, mm-hmm. generally.
Mm-hmm.
And so I moved here, and then it was about 2 years in, and I've just, you know, it's become like such a habit. So when mm-hmm. I go back home, you know, I told my brother to F off in front of my mom, my dad, and my aunt, and they were all just so shocked.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I was like, are we really going to have a moment over this?
Well,
we did.
Swearing here to me is better than using someone's religion in vain, and I'm not religious.
Mm. Mm.
But it took me a long time to get used to people in America using God. Oh my God! You know, and it's like, well, why don't you rather just say, oh fuck?
Yeah.
You know? Because you're not offending anyone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whereas when you take a religion, it's like, oh, Buddhism. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, well, what is the hell has he got to do with it? You know. Come on. You're pissed off. Use the real words.
Yeah. Well, we love you. I love it. Like, it's freaking Indiana Jones. Carolyn's like Indiana Jones, man. I want to go back to this this mommy culture because I got to tell you. And I will offend probably some of my girlfriends that are married with kids. But, you know, they know I love them deep down, so I can go there.
Mm-hmm.
It can be an inward world, and I can't judge because I've never had kids, and what I've seen is that it's a thankless job for a long time. It takes everything out of you that you didn't think it was going to take out of you, and then you're expected to be all these things. So with that said, because I realize it's just so intense, I also see that it's just kind of becomes all about this insular world, and mommies are us, and babies are us, and you don't really know what's going on in the outside world because they don't have kids, you know? And I find like I'm always having to meet people with kids where they are as far as in their world, as opposed to you want to talk about your single life, well, it just seems trivial to them,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah.
So, but what I've seen with some of the mom culture, you know, and I don't have kids, but is some kind of that boring, you know, women need adventure too. Women are made to pioneer, and I think that they get locked up in the house, they take care of the kid.
That's their own fault, honestly, because, you know, it's a culture where they just feel like they breed upon one another. It's kind of like competition with the keeping up with the Joneses. Well, if I don't take my kids to 7 different sports a week, they're going to feel left out because Daniel next door goes to 20 sports a week, you know, so I better keep up with this. And then they forget to live with their kids. And, you know, Etienne and I would travel extensively with our kids when they were babies. And everyone around us would say, you don't want to be doing that. And we'd say, but why? Have you done it with baby kids? And then like, no, Well, then what the fuck? Yeah. Why are you telling me I can't do it?
Yeah. Right.
You know, where are you coming from? It's the culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because 90% of the people don't do it, no one does it. And I think that's the problem with the mothers of today.
Mm.
They are just too wrapped up in trying to be a good mother that they're smothering it. And they're losing the fun part of being a mother within themselves.
Do you think it's partly like our generation feels a certain amount of guilt towards our kids, I think, for maybe working too much, not being able to spend as much time with them? And that, because I think I see that in many cases.
Yes, absolutely. I think you're right there, because we're so busy. You know, that's what I love about Europe, is the people are so, when it's Sunday, it's Sunday.
Right. No
you know,
work.
When it, when it's time at 5 o'clock and the sun's starting to set, everyone goes and gets together, and whether it's on stairs, and they'll have a baguette and their wine, mm-hmm. and they'll watch the local talent do something amazing with their children.
Right. Mm.
And the children, if the mom and the dad are mesmerized by the music that is being played locally, the children have to keep themselves occupied.
Mm.
And whether it be with a ball or digging in the mud or sitting and wrapping a piece of paper or whatever it is, the kids actually get more involved with the real thing of life.
Right.
Chill out. Enjoy what's around you, your surroundings.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're too busy racing off to sports events.
Right, right. And we're very protective of the kids, I think, you know. And you know, because, you know, during our times when we were young and stuff, I don't know in South Africa, but, you know, the kids were able to go outside and play and not have to worry about anything. And today they're not independent, you know, because they depend on us to get somewhere. We have to drive them somewhere.
They expect, I was a nanny for a lady with three kids, and it was like, I was young, so I kind of went with it for a while. Then I was like, this kind of sucks, man.
Because you were teaching them cool things to do.
Well, I was teaching them. I did a lot of fun things with them. But then I realized she really didn't want a nanny. She wanted a clown.
Mm.
She wanted me to entertain her kids 24/7. I'm like, this isn't healthy. And I'm a good entertainer. Yeah. Like, I read them songs, dances, books. After a while, I need a break. And you kids need to go play with a stick.
Absolutely.
You need to go
get in the mud. I always say to my kids, go and get dirty. And
but they are such brats. These kids were such brats because they're mom had somebody doing something for them all the time, or she was doing something for them, and I'm like, you're raising horrible humans.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, from the human race to you.
And you know, I kept saying, and no offense to America, but really, I used to question this a lot about the mothers that I was hanging out with that were bringing up their kids. You know, how come do the adults turn out to be so cool?
Mm-hmm.
Because after a certain age, and you meet all these Americans, they're cool people.
Very.
Mm.
You know, aren't they?
Very.
They're very cool people. You, very cool. But I bet you as a child, you would have been one of those that I would want to have throttled. Or maybe you were brought up differently.
No, I had a very I want to say, dysfunctional is the word I'd go with. So there's a lot of self-sufficiency and resilience that I grew that I had to develop. And I think that unfortunately when kids maybe haven't been given some of the things, the nicer things or the supervision, you know, some good things actually come out of that, like character building.
Independence.
And then I've always thought, well, if I have kids and I want to do everything for them that I didn't have, I'm like, well, you don't want to turn them into an idiot or like a spoiled human. You know what I mean?
Because
you can't. Yeah, but it's kind of like you want to smack them around a bit and, you know.
Yeah, of course. Teach them the real things of life.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And smack them around a bit.
Yeah. And I was never scared to tell my kids, well, you know, I just don't have the money for that.
Mm.
If they wanted something just because they saw it and they figured they could get it, it was like, no, you know, you're not getting that. I don't know. I just try to bring my kids up as naturally as possible and not judge them with everyone else.
Right.
You know, because it's easy to get caught up in that as a mother. You know, my daughter went to prom this weekend. A great example.
Really?
Am I talking too much?
No, I love it. Go for
and
it.
And she, you know, this really pissed me off because there's mothers out there that will spend $500-$600 on a dress and they can't really afford it.
Yeah.
But they do it because they're so caught up in, like you say, wanting to live through their children.
Mm.
And they want to give them all this stuff. And I said to Sonia, you have a budget and this is the budget and this is what you're going to make work. And you know, this poor girl went out of her way to make this budget work for her. And she ended up spending maybe $100.
Oh, wow.
And walking out of the door looking beautiful.
Fantastic,
yeah.
And feeling so good about herself because she didn't waste all this money.
Yeah, you realize it's one night. You're like,
exactly.
Oh,
and, you know, and she didn't get caught up with all these girls that were spending all these hundreds of dollars. I mean, some of them spend thousands of dollars.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's ridiculous.
Yeah, and people do the same things with weddings and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, spend $100,000 on your wedding just so you'll get divorced 6 months later, you know?
Exactly. You had 250 witnesses, but they're all wasted.
Yeah,
because you spent $100,000 on the booze.
I've been to a few weddings and I was a maid of honor and I've seen what it looks like to have a big wedding and the stress, and I'm like, you mean to tell me this beautiful big wedding is driving you this crazy, and it gets to be all about you, and you get to be a brat, and because in the name of it's my wedding, and it was good for me to see it because I'm sure it could happen to me, and I was like, well, I want everybody to do a potluck. You know, come in, bring a casserole. You know, Sally, bring the cake. Yeah. Let's just do a big spread. I want to have a hoedown in the middle.
Yeah. And give me a chick as a gift.
Yeah, the only thing I need is I need to have the hottest dress and look the best. None of my bridesmaids need to look good. In fact, the uglier the better. Yeah. I don't understand these brides that are like, oh, she needs to lose weight. I want everybody to look this
bullshit,
way. I'm like, let them look ugly. Tell them to shave all their heads.
Exactly.
You know,
so you can stand out?
Well, I'm making a joke about how a lot of brides become, they want their whole wedding party to look beautiful.
Right, right.
And I'm like, who cares when it's supposed to be all about you?
Well, you know, if you really love the people that you choose, it's supposed to be your bridesmaids and that are supposed to be your closest friends.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you really choose the people that you love, you're supposed to love them for what they look like. Now you're going to tell them, go on a diet. Oh, please cut your hair, Sam. Or, you know,
ridiculous. I'm not feeling that. And in fact, I'm like, you know what, why don't you guys just show up in some jeans and t-shirt and let me just look hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. That's the way to do it.
And everybody just bring a baked dish.
Yeah.
Bring a covered dish, as they say in the church world. Bring a covered dish, some Rice Krispie treats. Let's do it up.
Get it done.
You know?
Yeah.
Have fun.
Now, do you find that Americans, or at least Californians, dress very casually compared to South Africa?
You know, South Africa has so much European influence in the way that they dress. Mm-hmm. Their fashion is actually 6 months ahead of America they're up with Europe's fashion.
Right.
So because it's so much closer, I don't know why. It's not closer to New York, but it's closer in the fashion world as far as it's always six months ahead of us.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because of the seasons.
Right. You know? That's what I'm thinking.
So that's what causes it. There in South Africa, if you go out to dinner, you dress.
Yes. Mm.
And a lot of places were not allowing jeans, but I think that's changed now. You know, I haven't lived there in 14 years,
right.
So it's hard for me to say. But when I was living there, it was very much jeans were a no-no.
Mm. Right.
California is very, very late. What I love about California is you can dress up. Kara can come to a dinner dolled up, completely dolled up, and I can be there in jeans and everyone still has a good time.
That's true.
Because you're feeling your own energy.
I love dressing up. And I think it's interesting. My friend moved to Berkeley, and she's like, oh, my gosh, there's nowhere to wear a cute dress. I mean, people are flip-flops or beach culture. And I love it. I love that, too. I mean, it's nice doing the casual thing. But it's interesting when you go to a different part of the country or you know, overseas or wherever, and it's either a very hot – they dress up or they dress down.
Mm-hmm.
And I find, like, I go back home, and I mean, I don't have, like, the best wardrobe or anything, but Mama makes it pop. Mama makes it zoo what it zoo. And, you know, I'll just, you know, sure, it's 3:00. I'm going to put some fake lashes on, you know.
Yeah, yeah. But you're a girly,
I'm a girly girl. It's probably, you know.
And Natasha and Sonia, my girls, are girly.
Exactly. And it's like, it's fun. It's really fun. And sometimes I'll get a lot of like, where are you going? Why are you doing that? I don't know. I just like feeling feminine.
Yeah.
You know?
I get my days that I also just feel feminine
it's
like
fun.
That. But I can see you doing that more.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, you're girly. It's cute. It's cool. That's what makes you so gorgeous.
I even as a little kid, my mom said that like they couldn't put me in like pants. I'd scream. I'd be like, give me a dress. I'm still that way. Dress.
That's true. You don't wear many pants.
No, and people don't understand that if your weight fluctuates and you have fitted jeans, like I have really nice jeans, like if I'm not a certain size, like my leanest size, I'm not even going to try that damn thing on.
Yeah, no.
Right. I'm just not going to try it and then have to suck it in and I get to feel like depressed. No, I'd rather put it on a hot dress and feel
cute,
sexy.
Well, you look very sexy.
Thank you, my friend.
You
I call the new moo-moos, you know, a hot dress.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get some new dresses when I go to Texas.
Hey, there you go.
I'm excited. Sundresses excite me.
I know. Dresses are cute.
Oh, my gosh. And I'm getting these things called jumpers, which are like, I'm sure they're like the built-in shorts with the top.
Oh,
but I'm
going to
get them like high-waisted so they look really pin-up-y.
Yes.
You know, like real pin-up.
Yeah.
Oh, they're going to be hot.
Very cute. Very, very cute.
Yeah.
I can see you.
Man, I'm going to get it.
Very
cute. I can't wait. I can't wait. Jumpers!
Sam, your eyes are going to be hanging out. Yeah, you're going to be having a hard time concentrating.
Poor Sam.
Yeah.
I don't think it's possible any more than it already is.
Oh, man,
you've seen it all, eh?
Yeah, there you go.
Sam used to have tons of porn stars on here.
Oh, yeah.
What's that?
You used to have tons of porn stars in here.
Right.
Wasn't that nerve-wracking? Like you were scared of if something weird was going to just happen, or you just went with the flow? You wanted that. I can see in his eyes. He loved that, right?
Well, we had a couple times where they took off their tops and stuff.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Didn't you see the picture?
Yeah, I've seen the picture.
Well, I saw
her
pop one out, but you mean on your show they just sat here topless?
Yeah.
That's so weird.
I had the weirdest experience night. We went to this couple that lived down the road from us that are South African. We didn't know them. And another couple is my husband's best friend, Jock. You met
him? Oh, yeah, Jock. What's up, Jock?
Hey, yeah, Jocky Jock. And Danny. So we went and we went to these other South Africans that live in the neighborhood. We didn't know them. We go to their house and the girls ended up talking about their boobs. You know, uh-huh. After a few glasses of wine, I pop my boob out and I'm showing her something to do with my nipple.
Uh-huh.
And she grabs, and I said, Joe, you know, I don't have the sexiest breast. And she's like, she grabbed my breast, stuck her lips onto my nipple, and gave me this incredible nipple. You thought I gave you an incredible...
She gave me a little tickling down there. Did she straight up suck it?
So it was so fucking bizarre. And I walked, and Danielle was standing next to me, and we both looked at each other. We both went blood red, because it was like on the spur of the moment. She caught
me. Was quick.
And
it was quick.
You can't shock me quickly, but she floored me. I mean, I was... Lord. And she walked away as if nothing had happened.
Really?
She just wanted to find out.
She's just giving you a great compliment and a great nipple.
She just wanted to say, like, you know what? It works. It works. You're good to go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't think I could do that.
Do you think she's into women or maybe...
No, I don't know. I haven't seen her since. Yeah. When I run, I kind of avoid her house. No, I'm joking.
That's funny.
No, I'm joking, but I haven't seen her since.
Well, oh, my gosh. That's so funny, man.
Yeah. So what happened with you touching her vagina? What was that story about?
There was some candles lit. We had Barry White on.
It was very romantic.
Some nice wine. No, I think we were drinking a little bit, and she didn't really touch my vagina, but it's just funny.
I didn't?
No, you didn't get up in there.
She was
referencing on top of my area.
Yes. Nice.
And that's just, I've never had anybody just do it. It's
invasive.
It's not as like what the lady did sucking it.
Yeah.
But she just was like, you were talking about this beautiful painting. Tell her about the painting.
I used to do a non-profit business. And then these people in South Africa, the Indubeli tribe, they gave my parents paintings. And this one little painting this African guy had painted of me, he had never seen a picture of me. And he got a lot of my body right. And I was telling them. And where her vagina is, she's holding a big rose. But they thought it was an apple.
Oh, it was a rose.
It was a rose, baby. A big red rose.
Well, either way, it looked like
a flower.
It looked very luscious.
Yeah.
It was just like
it was. It was like a snow white apple.
Yeah.
Red,
it was
red
just
apple.
Very like...
Mm-hmm. What the witch brings to Snow White.
She did. It looked hard. It looked intense.
So it could be an apple flower. Right. Yeah, it's very red, very voluptuous. And I was just saying, how he expresses his thankfulness is through sexual...
You said like...
Like sexual thoughts.
You said that like women in that...
culture.
They say the vagina is like...
It's sacred.
Right.
You know, it's a very sacred area. And they respect it a lot because it gives them a lot of free entertainment.
Yeah, I respect it a lot too.
Exactly. Which male doesn't, right?
Well, they better.
Exactly. Exactly.
So there's this fabulous painting and she was referencing to it. She's like, Carol, this painting is amazing. And she's like, right here. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
It was funny.
Sensitive moment of how voluptuous a woman's vagina is.
Right.
And then we took it a step further.
Yeah. We took it a step further.
And then Sarah had to like slap my hand away. What happened? And
it was just funny. It's just a different boundary level. And I was like, you don't live until you've been to a South African party.
Exactly.
You see a great painting and you get a rub down.
Yeah. Did you know my stove blew up that night?
Oh, yeah. We got there right before it blew up.
Oh, you did? Okay. We thought you got there just after it blew up.
No, we got there right after it blew up. We got there right after. They were having this amazing spread. Tell me what happened.
We had dim sum. And you know, with dim sum, you have to steam everything.
Right.
So I had like six different pots going on the stove. And it was a glass top, but it's gas.
Right.
And the next minute, this whole thing... has this explosion. Poof!
Wow.
And the whole glass exploded because it's that shatterproof, thank goodness. Otherwise, we all would have been slit throats. You guys would have walked in, what the hell?
So you guys were there in the kitchen.
Yeah, this is crazy.
Yeah, we were in the kitchen. And it just all went into broken little tiny pieces. And then it started to collapse in, but the Bunsen burners were still fine.
Really?
And so we take everything outside because we want to keep everything going because you have to steam it to be able to eat it. Otherwise, it's not going to taste good, right?
Yeah.
So we're going to do everything on the gas braai outside. Well, we get outside to the gas braai and Etienne's like, this gas braai isn't working properly. Then suddenly the gas braai had leaks in it.
Oh, my God.
Out of nowhere, two appliances just fell apart within seconds of each other. So we went back inside and continued cooking on this. And I used it for a week after that.
Really?
Eventually, Sonia's like, Mommy, I think you need to get another stove because the wires are starting to show now.
That's funny.
We just didn't want to take care of it.
Guys made it work. It didn't cramp the party. I mean, they were like, by the way, our stove blew up. You want some more wine? We were having fun. We were having a good old time. Everybody's cool. We're like eating. We're like, the next thing. We're fine. Passing around. She's very hospitable. That's right. Something that I think is a gift and a talent. When people are good about, it's not about being perfect. It's not about being having everything right. I read this or heard it in an interview about heavenly hospitality, kind of this concept of when people enter your home, it's not about being perfect. It's about making them feel instantly like family, like comfortable.
Yep. Yep.
And I immediately thought of you. I was like, aww. Because I was like, you do such a good job of people just walk in and it's constant. Okay, what do you need? Da, 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 and you integrate them right away. And it's just that real warm vibe. And I think that that's so unique. Really, it is. Because sometimes you can go places and it's...
You can feel terrible, uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable.
You feel like, why did you invite me?
Yeah, it's like it's either too perfect or it's they neglect you or whatever. And I just think you do a great job of...
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. And so your friend, you call her China.
Yeah, China. Now, the reason that is because in South Africa, your China is your best friend.
Mm.
And when you're close to someone, you call them your China.
Really?
You know? And I'm trying to tell her this on the golf course. We're on the golf course, and it's like a still moment, and I love to talk too much on the golf course. God, shut me up. So I can see Linda's like in a bit of a Zoom. So I said to Linda, I want to explain to you why I call you my China, not because you're Chinese.
She's Chinese.
And the more I'm trying to explain to her, the more I can see she's taking this as like a kind of an insult. You know, or she's not quite sure where she should take this from.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, you're my China. You've got to understand. And I'm trying to get her to laugh at the fact that, like, you guys just laughed at it, right?
Yeah, because she's Chinese and she's your China.
No, she's not laughing.
Really?
She's not laughing.
How embarrassing,
Very embarrassing.
Yeah.
So then I had to give her a glass of wine and try and explain to her that, you know, it's not an insult. It's a compliment. And I think it's because a lot of people here mock the Asian people,
right?
You know, and she thought I was like trying to mock her by saying
probably,
China,
But this lady is a really good friend of hers and was the one cooking the dim sum, and she threw it down hardcore. Mm-hmm. They threw it down hardcore. And you guys are working on your business, right? The dinner with friends.
Yes.
Yeah, that's tell us about that.
Yeah, I came up with this idea. You know, with the times being as hard as they are, people are going back to at home entertaining.
Right.
It's just nicer, and it's becoming more like it should be like it used to be in the past. You have people over at your house, and you have a more comfortable setting, and they get to know you more personally because you're sharing your personal space with them. I mean,
it's intimate.
I'm sure you feel you know me a lot more because we were at my house.
Oh, yeah. I know her a lot more.
Yeah, exactly. a lot more.
She knows me a lot more, too. Yeah.
Well, that's the whole point.
There you go,
You have areas where you can capture people.
Yeah.
Maybe you can show me later how you touched her vagina.
It was good.
Yeah, really. We can give you a demo.
Yeah, there you go.
So what were we busy saying?
You were telling us about your business adventure with people.
So having people over at your house. Now, the one thing is some people don't know how to cook, or they don't know. They get nervous to entertain.
Mm.
So then it takes away from their personalities. So what you do is you have a friend come over that knows how to cook, and just like maybe one or two of them, and it would be like Linda and myself would come over and we'll discuss with you a little menu of what you want to do, and then that evening you have us come to your house and we take care of everything.
Wow, how
and
awesome.
And you sit and enjoy your friends, and you know, we'll cook whatever it is that you wanted. But it's not like a business where you feel like you're having someone come in that's catering.
Right.
We will only do it for people we know.
I see.
You know? And before we do it for you, we would come and get to know you.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds good. Wow.
I have a tissue.
Do you have a tissue?
Oh, no.
Well, we'll take a little break and stay with us. We'll be back right after this.
I thought I.
On your computer, on your Wi-Fi radio, on your iPhone, commercial-free, original talk, only on LA Talk Radio. your favorite talk station.
Carolyn, fresh from South Africa.
Oh,
not
man.
So fresh from South
but
Africa.
But you know what? She's got the South African spirit.
Yes, absolutely. So how long ago did you... Oh, you said in 97 you left,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah, 97.
And do you go back often?
No, you know, we went back 10 years ago to mm-hmm. try and sell my husband's business that he still had there. And we still had our farm. Mm. We had a ostrich quarantine built
really?
Area for to get my birds.
Right.
And 2 weeks before
so
we...
this lady, I mean, I'm trying to tell you, Carolyn's stories are just, they go on for days into areas you didn't, I mean, an ostrich farm.
So, yeah, so I didn't get my ostriches.
Uh-huh.
2 weeks before I was going to order my first batch,
uh-huh.
after studying for a year and a half and building this ostrich quarantine farm with my bare hands.
Uh-huh. Really?
Yeah. I built my own swimming pool too.
Are you
in South
serious?
Africa. Yeah. It was probably three times the size of this area.
Uh-huh.
It was actually probably as big as this whole room.
Uh-huh.
And we had a huge big farm, well, plot, mm-hmm. they call them in South Africa. And everyone always used to come over and say, but why is the swimming pool so small? I'm like, well, try building it yourself. Yeah. I mean, maybe you'll get an idea, you know, of why.
Yeah.
It's like, you know. So anyhow, getting back to, we went back for 6 months, mm-hmm. and I kind of homeschooled my girls in and out of game reserves at the time, uh-huh. and my plot was open, and Etienne said, let's move in here, and I knew if I moved back in there, there was no way I was going to be moving out again.
Mm. Mm.
So I said to him, no, you know, there's no way I'm moving in here because I don't want to get attached again.
Right.
So I kind of kept myself detached from it. But an interesting thing was it's a dust road, and it was very far out of the town. And I just never really thought to use my cell phone this one day. And I had my girls with me. And we got a flat tire.
Mm-hmm.
And I went into a neighbor's yard. And they hadn't seen me in a long time. And they invited us in. And one thing led to another. And before I knew it, I was walking around her herbal garden with a glass of wine. And she's showing me everything. And this guy from my husband's work came and changed the tire and went off. And when I got home to my mom and dad's house, mm-hmm. Etienne and my mom and dad were there, and they were furious because the sun had set and they had heard nothing from me, and why wasn't I answering the cell phone? And it was all this nervous tension.
Mm.
Anyhow, I don't want to go back into that. But anyhow, that was just those 6 months was just too long.
Yeah,
I couldn't wait to get the hell out of there.
So you don't have any desire to go back and visit?
No, there's too many other places in the world to see. You know, I was very fortunate. Etienne worked maybe 3 months of the 10 years that we lived together in South Africa, bringing up our girls. So we traveled excessively South Africa and its neighboring areas.
Mm. So you got your dose.
Yeah, we got our dose. Exactly.
You got to just the next thing they did, they're going to Mars.
Yeah.
They're going to start, you know.
Yeah, they're going to Mars.
Mm-hmm. They're going to go outer space and start looking at the constellations. Mm-hmm. They're the kind of people that would do that.
Yeah. Did you guys ever go? Were you? So what city were you living in?
Pretoria.
Oh, in Pretoria, really? The capital.
Yeah, the capital. Yeah.
Did you guys ever take trips to the Drakensberg, the mountains and stuff?
Oh, yes.
These mountains are like unbelievable, you know, and you go camping and stuff, and waterfalls and everything, and you just hike there, you know, nonstop, you know.
Is it
and
safer?
We rented a cabin there, and it was just amazing. You know, we had to make our own fire.
Yes, the atmosphere
and hot water.
Is amazing. Yeah.
Is it safer if you just go and vacation like somewhere not in the city? It sounds like you're not worried about being home late. You know, if you're out in the mountains or...
I can only talk about 10 years ago. And, you know, we went to this one game reserve, which is a private game farm.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like outside of Austin, you get those private game farms.
Yeah.
I went to one of these and we were robbed. We were robbed there. And the trackers actually came in and tracked down the spoor, which is the foot tracks of the people that had robbed us.
Really?
It was very interesting. And they had crossed this little river where there's crocodiles in it, the Limpopo River, and they had crossed through where there are leopards and lions and elephants and hippos. And, you know, you don't want to get between a hippo and his water because he will fuck you up.
Really?
I mean, you never get between a hippo and his water. And I used to caddy for Etienne in South Africa, and we'd go to these golf courses where there were hippos and crocodiles in the water, you know. And if the hippos came out and you had to go and hit your bunker shot, you kind of, if you had to get between the hippo and the water, you kind of kept away.
Yeah.
So was it not a threat to be like, you know, shooting 8 holes and there's a thing there with a crocodile? You know, there's a pond or a lake or a river or whatever, and there's a big hippo or there's a crocodile. They didn't come after you guys, or was it far enough away?
No. You just watched your bearings, you know. You just watched yourself and you kind of went on the animal's language. And they also had little fencing that were electrical that would keep them away if it was very close to the area of where you were golfing, you know.
Yeah.
But for the most part, no. It's kind of like the alligators in Florida.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, they they're in the water there. They're there with the golfers, and you just know you don't go and get your ball out the water.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Stay away, you know.
So you're saying that you guys got robbed? Was it you? Were you there when they robbed you guys?
Yeah. You know, we had actually gone out to go and view some game. Mm-hmm. And when we came back, they had ransacked. They'd taken all our beer. They'd taken all our meat.
Really?
They'd taken all our cigarettes. They'd stolen Etienne's watch and his sunglasses. And they'd stolen the kids' backpacks. backpacks, you know, and kids at that age, you know, they have their beanies in there and, you know, all their little personal shit. It keeps them calm. It's like, oh, what are we going to do with the night? Get them drunk.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man.
Let them smoke some elephant dung or something. You know?
Yeah. But I mean, humans have contact with animals all the time there, right?
Yes.
I mean, when we went to Cape Town, we saw like a couple baboons by the side of the road. Mm-hmm. So we decided to pull over and see. So there was a little clearing that we went on, and there was a whole clan of them. Okay, but we remember
are
they were
violent?
Dangerous. Yeah.
Ooh. Are they dangerous?
Very dangerous. Because I was obviously driving with South Africans, so they're aware of this.
Yeah.
And they said, yeah, they're very violent. So what we did is we rolled up the windows, we parked the car, and they all started climbing on the car. And it was just an amazing, amazing experience, you know? So we didn't have to touch them, yet they were like this close, you know, at the windshield.
Yeah.
And that was an experience,
huh?
Yeah.
Big, yeah.
So I guess I don't know what a baboon. I'm thinking of like a chimp or like a little cute monkey.
No, don't think of a cute thing. Think of a little bigger. Think of a 3-year-old toddler that is irritating the living daylights out of you, but has fangs this size.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, really?
And is aggressive.
Yeah. Oh, they'll go after you.
Oh, yeah.
If you're just walking,
when there's a group of them, you know.
Yeah.
If you're just walking down the road.
Depends on how hungry they are, or how mischievous they want to be, you know, or. Maybe, you know, maybe they feel you threaten them in some way.
Yeah.
Are they fast?
Yeah, they're pretty agile as well.
Yeah.
And they're very strong. They're very strong. You know, I was brought up, I was very fortunate. In my childhood, I was brought up with a lot of animals. Did I tell you?
Yeah, you told me some of it.
And it was a very good friend of my dad's that owns Hadebeer Sport Snake and Animal Park up in Pretoria. Did you ever get to it? It was at a Hadebeer Sport Dam.
Yes, yes.
Did you go
I was
to that
there.
Zoo?
I was actually in the lake, but not in the zoo.
Okay,
no.
You didn't go to that zoo. Okay,
no.
It's called Hadebeer Sport Snake and Animal Park.
Uh-huh.
And we were brought up as kids there, and my parents would take us a lot down to this. I call him my uncle, but he's not really my uncle, but I've known him all my life, and he's been a very close friend of the family. So he's like an uncle to me.
Right.
And he and his children and my mom and dad's children, which was us, we would be put down as guinea pigs.
Really?
To train some of the animals. And he had these chimps, and he had this tea party going with these chimps, and we'd have to train them. And every weekend you would be sitting next to a chimp at the breakfast table. And if the chimp did something that was not liked, then you would get the hell, you know. You would get the blame for it. And we would go on these tea parties, and we would travel in the car with him, and the biggest chimp would sit in the front. And he had this big chain on him because, you know, and he would turn around and he'd like look at you like this, hang his arm over and look at you like this.
Yeah.
In the eye. He's trying to threaten you, you know, trying to tell you, don't you even look at me because I will take your head off like that.
Really?
You know, yeah. And he had this
chip,
whole,
right?
Oh, yeah. But he's kind of like laid back and you think he's like cool, but he's actually challenging you in a way, you know.
Yeah.
And the little chimps are like a solid brick. They would jump up on your lap and hit the top of the combi roof and come down on your lap, like the solid, and you'd be bruised afterwards. And then we'd be thrown in the swimming pools with the seals, and they suck bite you.
Really?
They suck bite you.
Wow.
That's kind of cute, but does it hurt?
Whew, you're full of bruises, you know? And then we were thrown in crocodile pits.
No.
Yeah, with a big bucket of fish, and our parents are sitting, sipping beers, chatting to one another, and we're like throwing one fish, another one to the crocodiles, you know? It's like parent entertainment. See, these kids are going to get taken out.
It's like gladiator. It's like gladiator for your kids. It's, yeah, they'll you know, they'll learn fast.
Yeah.
They're fast learners. Yeah. Wow, are you kidding?
And then I would sleep over at Sandy's house, which was Jackie Seal's home, and sometimes he would forget to take the snacks out of his pocket. And you know, you'd walk around the house and there'd be these snakes. And the one night he had this python that he brought home. And this python was feeling a little sick, and he's really good at reading his animals. So he brought it home, and he actually put it in the wash basket in the one bathroom, because they had this huge house, and it was like the private guest bathroom, and he thought no one would disturb it.
Oh my God.
He didn't realize that the house was full of all the kids once again for the weekend. And I go in there to take a pee, And I come and I get into the bathroom.
No way.
And yeah, and the next minute,
like stressed out.
The snake comes crawling out of the basket. It's kind of like those movies where you see the.
Yeah.
But this, I mean, he was nothing like that. He was very lazy and
laid
back.
And he's a python, right? So
yeah.
They squeeze you. They don't bite.
Yeah, no, they squeeze you. But they bite you and then they squeeze around you and they take the breath out of you, you know?
Yeah.
They'll take a bite to hold onto you and then they squeeze themselves. They coil themselves around you.
Right.
Tightly until your
breath
is gone. But
they're not fast movers, right?
But the hell of a strong.
Yeah, and you don't want to get too close and pet
Yeah,
one.
And they're heavy, you know. And he had sailed right across the door. So I couldn't open the door to get out. And I was too scared to step over him in case he grabs one. I don't know how hungry he is. You know, I don't know when he was last fed.
Oh, my God.
I don't know where he's coming from.
Did you just start screaming? What did you do?
So, yeah, I just screamed and screamed until Sandy came and pushed the door up. And she's like, don't worry about this. She pushed them aside. So that's what I was brought up with. And eventually I became comfortable with it. Now I catch my own rattlesnakes in my backyard.
Really? Yeah.
Are you kidding?
I catch and release for a lot of my neighbors. They'll call me and say, Carolyn, I've got a rattlesnake.
Wow.
And then
ladies and gentlemen, she is a real live Indiana Jones, but female.
Yeah, definitely.
So how do you catch a rattlesnake? I mean...
Well... It depends on the situation of where they are, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I have to lure them out of the area that they're in, you know. And what you've got to remember is a snake, as long as the snake is, it can jump.
Oh, okay.
Even longer, twice as long as its length.
It can strike out.
It can strike out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you have to be kind of aware of that. You know, so whenever you see a snake line, and don't go and lean over it.
Mm.
Because it just, you know, or if it coils up, don't think you can be faster than it. Because its striking is pretty fast with striking.
Right, yeah.
You know, we have mongooses in South Africa that stand up. They look like squirrels, except they're a little bigger. And they are so quick with the eye that they actually catch Indian cobras, which are really quick at striking. Indian cobra is the one that opens up.
Right.
Like a fan, you know, at the top. And they strike really fast. They're very fast at striking.
Wow.
And these mongoose grab them.
Really?
And eat them.
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing to watch a mongoose against a poisonous cobra.
Right.
Wow, that's a showdown, man.
And very fast. Very fast. Yeah, so
that is a showdown.
I don't know, man. Snakes are creepy for me, man. But I think most people feel that way, you know? It's just, it's amazing. I think you have no fear, huh?
No.
You probably, yeah.
Certain things I do.
Yeah.
Like what?
You're definitely not risk averse, that's for sure.
No, I mean, she's living life on the edge, and I love it. I mean, she's just enjoy. She's like, I always say, one of my mottos is, you know, just scrape the joy out of every moment of life, you know, have a dance party, do what you got to do, you know, just like enjoy all the little moments. That's all we were guaranteed is the moment we have.
Exactly.
But what are the things that you're afraid of? I want to hear this. Everybody wants to hear this because, you know, if you're not afraid of a king cobra or a mongoose or whatever it is, a hybrid of the two, and you're like, you know, you just need to know how far it can strike and you move on. Yeah. What gets to you?
You feed alligators and and sit with chimps in the car.
What is it that does kind of freak you out a bit?
You know, heights.
Heights do?
Heights.
Yeah.
You mean not the king cobra, but heights do?
Heights, and I'm not a good, strong ocean swimmer. I'm not a good swimmer, clear, period.
Really?
You know, and I find that intimidating. I've tried to surf.
Right.
And I'll go when the conditions are, the waves are this big.
Right.
And it's glossy.
Small, you mean.
You know, yeah, they're tiny, tiny, of course. Yeah. They're small. No one can see how big
Yeah, nobody can see.
So you just go when you know it's like a little more mellow. And,
And then I don't have to paddle as hard.
Yeah.
And I also don't like the speed thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I couldn't get used to the snowboarding in Denver. We hadn't had snow. So for us, it was a new experience. My husband and my children picked it up like that.
Really?
Because they love speed and my kids were young enough not to know the better of what fear was. You know, they just went with the flow of it. But as for Etienne, he loves speed. So for him, it was easy, you know, to do these kind of sports. And then the height thing, the lift. I mean, I would get on the lift and close my eyes. And people would be like, you know, talking to me. And Etienne would be like, don't talk to her. She's going to be really rude to you. Now, this is the only time I get fucking peace and quiet in my life. Please do not talk to her. Let's keep this really quiet. Don't even look at her. And I can't speak. I get completely frozen.
Really?
Because I see that big palace at the bottom, and when you get to the top, it's this teeny weeny little matchbox of a place that you've just come out of, and you've got to get down there.
Right. Have you always had fear of heights, or is it later on?
No, always, yeah.
Because I never have, but now I do.
You do,
yeah.
Hey?
So I think it sort of like came with age and stuff.
I'm not a huge fan. I mean, I think it's beautiful. I love going, I mean, this is the same thing. I love being in high elevated places and having good views. Like when I go hiking, I prefer to do the ridges and the backbones where I can get really high and see the ocean or, you know, I just love being elevated in the views and you're climbing and it's great, but it's not the same thing because you're still on ground.
Because you don't have the threat of like falling off.
Yeah, you're still on ground. Well, I'm supposed to go skydiving in Texas. And I'm like, a friend of mine, he already bought the tickets, and I'm like, you may need to find a buddy. Not because it wouldn't be fun, but I'm kind of like, I don't need to test out gravity. I know it works.
You know what? If you really want to try and do it, I've heard from many people, what you need to do is just get in that plane and go up. And once you're up in the plane, you kind of get an equilibrium feeling going.
Oh, really?
And your adrenaline starts to pump so much that you don't actually mind doing it.
Really? Well, then let's do it.
Yeah, I've heard. Oh, yeah, right. And then you're cured, apparently. After that, no more height fears.
Really?
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard. I don't know how true it is.
So you're not going to do it?
I'm toying with the idea of doing it. The thing is there's
no going back once you jump.
Yeah, I don't even know if you could. I mean, I don't know if they force you out of the plane, too. Like, let's say you get up there.
No, they would never do that. No.
No, because, I mean, but I've heard that, and I don't know how accurate this is, you jump out. You know when you're on a swing set or on a roller coaster and your stomach drops a little bit? That with skydiving, it doesn't happen like that because that feeling comes from being able to see, like, depth perception and, like, you know, mountains or buildings or things like that in the ground. When you're up there, you don't have depth perception, so you don't have that feeling.
Are you single jumping? Or are you going to be strapped to someone?
I'm going to be strapped to somebody else.
Because Etienne did it, and his first time, this was in South Africa, they actually let them jump out the plane on a static line.
Oh.
So you have your own parachute, but listen to this funny part. The people that fold your chute before you get up in the air are the people that have just taken the jump for the first time in their
really?
Life. And part of the lesson, you go 2 days before to learn how to fold a parachute. Excuse me, have you ever seen how complicated it is to fold a parachute?
I would imagine. They're huge.
And there's a lot of people that go out there that have egos that don't want to admit that they don't quite remember the whole format of folding this parachute.
You better remember that. I'm just saying.
And they
don't. And they
roll this up and they roll the chute up because you've just come off your jump, your first jump ever. Your adrenaline is so sky high. Mm-hmm. Now you've got to fold the chute. You can't quite remember because you're still experiencing this whole experience you've just had. I mean, for heaven's sake, you just jumped out of a plane, you know.
Right.
Take some balls.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And they give you the chute to fold up. And, you know, many times at Vonderboom, we would watch these guys jump out of the planes and the chutes would get tangled. And they'd have to use the emergency pop-up. But, you know, if you're jumping on someone's back, it's cool because that guy knows what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way you're going to forget to open your chute or your chute's not going to open and you're going to panic and not get your next one open.
Right.
But what did happen to Etienne was because you're traveling at velocity, you're coming down and you're going forward.
Mm.
They said do not pick a spot and say you're going to land there.
Right.
Pick an area but not an exact spot.
Right.
Because
you're never
the wind,
making,
the wind and everything changes.
Right.
And then you forget how much you're falling as you're moving forward.
Right.
And Etienne caught the wind coming in, so he wasn't going against the wind, and the wind was with him.
Mm.
And he landed at such a high speed, he broke his ankle two places.
Really?
Yeah, it was pretty bad. I'm filming this, and this one guy comes under my combi. I had a Synchro, which is a 4x4 combi. Do you know what a combi is?
Combi's pickup trucks, right?
Yeah, no, it's the, you know, you get the Volkswagens, then you get the Beetle, you get the... it's a combi, man.
Yeah, like the van.
It's the like van. Six. It's got three rows of seats.
Yeah, it's the Volkswagen van.
Yeah, Volkswagen van. That's it.
Oh,
sorry. Van to us is a pickup truck.
Right.
Sorry.
Oh, okay.
So when you said van, I'm thinking, no, it has seats in it, man. It
combi,
has three
man.
Rows.
Come on, combi.
Yeah.
And this guy comes under the combi. And he gets out, and I said to him, oh, your first jump, eh? He says, no, this is my third time. And I'm thinking, oh, fuck, Etienne's up there.
Oh, man.
And he's going to come down on his first time. And then he doesn't come back. Everyone else in his flight comes back, and he's not back.
Wow.
And I see this 4x4 rush out into the bushes. And I'm thinking, oh, my, this is it. And then he gets back, and, of course, everyone wants to check if their ankle's broken. Have you ever seen that when you've heard something? How many people come up to you and feel it?
Really?
oh, I just want to feel if this is broken. You know, twist and turn the foot.
Yeah.
Have you never seen that? When someone's spraying their arm or hurt their finger or something and it looks like it's broken? Well, let me just test it.
Yeah.
I'm not a doctor, but let me get a hold of that.
Yeah, let me just wiggle it around and jiggle it up some more. Hopefully, bust a ligament for you.
Yeah.
So his ankle was broken.
Well, it was broken in two places. Thanks to the rest of the people that felt they had to touch it.
Oh, my gosh. Was it worth it to him or no?
I think it was.
Yeah?
Yeah. And I think, you know what? He would do it again.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know, with his ankle and his age, you know.
Yeah. So both of you are pretty adventurous and stuff. So.
Yeah, he's incredibly.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you guys done bungee jumping at all?
No, that's not.
I've heard
no
that's,
do
that. No. I've heard a friend of mine said, believe
so
it or not.
She's scared of something.
Yeah. A friend of mine said that that's actually scarier, bungee jumping.
Yeah.
He said that skydiving.
Yeah.
I was like, how is that possible? He said there's something about because you can see this. Yeah, you go down, you don't know when it's going to pull you back up. All that stuff. I'm just some stuff I don't need to test. You know what? I know gravity works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that's it does all, work.
It
every
works.
Time.
Yeah, it works
exactly.
And
when you have a fear for it, you know that because when you walk on a bridge or something, it pulls you.
Yeah.
You want to jump off, even though you don't want to. You kind of like I've got to get down to that point of ground. I've got to get down to gravity. Don't you find that?
That's interesting. That's interesting. You know what? Also, I think of is I've been on a couple cruises and I go back to the boat and I look at. The open sea that's just marvelous and so much bigger than I can even comprehend and the depth of it. And then I'm like, I just sit there and stare and it blows my mind.
Yeah.
And then I look at the churn of all the water and I was like, what if I jumped off in this boat? I'm in the middle of freaking where? I'm in the middle of like the in between the Caribbean and another ocean somewhere that I don't even know. If I just jumped off,
no one would know.
I would just be here for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be there forever because they can't turn that big boat around and come and get you.
Really, they wouldn't? Or?
No, well, they can't. I mean, you're talking about a big ship, like the Titanic
kind of thing. Cruise ships.
Cruise ships.
No, you jump off there. There's no way they're turning around and picking you up. Any other?
They would lower a boat and come and get you.
No, they leave her. No, I'm joking.
Yeah, if it's Kira, they leave her.
Yeah, you know.
But with your boobs, you'd float forever, right?
You know, but I'd float a bit. Don't get me wrong.
And they're natural, I'll let you know.
Oh, yeah.
They are natural. They are the real thing.
They are the real thing, and it's 100% pure grade A fat, so it works. It does work.
No, they're beautiful.
I'm telling you, though, it's something majestic about it and just the vastness of it and how tragic and beautiful it would be to jump off that boat.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it, people. I'm not encouraging you to. It's just where your mind goes a bit.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Know? I'm just sitting there thinking. I look at it, and it terrifies me. It thrills me.
Yeah.
I never want to do it, but I'm just saying.
No, but it's just intriguing.
Yeah, I was. We have bayous. They're called bayous in Texas. Mm. They're open canals of water that lead to basically a little river that leads to the bay that leads to the Gulf, right? They're called bayous. And there's some alligators in there, supposedly. I've never seen one, but our mascot was called the Gators for a reason. So, but you do a lot of wakeboarding. So my friend's dad had like a little beach house on the bayou, and we would do wakeboarding and we would do all these fun things on this bayou, you know?
Yeah.
The water literally, like the Gulf, it looks like iced tea. So you can't see anything in it. It just looks brown and murky, and it's slushy and everything. Mm-hmm. Well, one time, we were having so much fun, and they put us on this big flotation device, and then they just, and you're on this thing, and then they do circles and spins, and you're trying to hold on. You're like, hoping to get, you try not to get flung off, you know? But then
you don't want to land in that water.
Oh, you don't want to land
what's
on
it. Underneath.
Yeah, but there's been several times, you know, we would run, you're kids, you know, but we'd get on the boat and then we would just, he's like, now jump in the water. And we were like, so we did. And I just remember it's a terrifying feeling in that slushy, dark water.
Yeah.
And it's just so fast and you're getting churned up a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember just that feeling is just so thrilling and like, I'm so scarified. Something I can't see is looking at me right now.
Yes.
And considering. It's considering.
Yeah.
Something
yeah.
I can't see is considering me right now.
In Saldanha Bay, it's where the big fish boats come in South Africa for all the fisheries. And you can kind of ski in this bay because it's flatter, but it's part of the ocean.
Mm.
And it's deep, cold, cold waters. And we go out on two boats. Etienne's on the one boat, I'm on the other boat. And we're with friends that live in Saldanha Bay. And they say, Carolyn, get on this tube and we'll pull you behind us. You know, and Etienne's skiing on the other boat, on the other side. And I get on this tube and they take me for the ride of my life. Okay? I am bouncing three stories high in the air, but I'm not letting go of this tube because in that water are big great whites. They swim around and they get, they come for all the chum from all the fishery, you know, all the fishery off waste that they wash off these boats and that. Well, this is the story that goes around, but these, they are big great whites. And what happens? I come off. Now, that's one of my biggest fears.
Oh, my gosh.
Left in the ocean and a great white shark gets me. That's why I won't eat shark meat. I'll eat any, but not shark meat. Because you eat what, it'll come and get you. You fucking eat it, it's going to eat you.
It's gonna, you think it's karma?
Oh, yeah, it's karma. I believe in karma. So, you know, karma's a bitch.
Yeah.
So, you don't want to, it's going to snip out that you were you had a feast. Okay.
So, I grabbed hold of my legs. I had my life jacket on. I grabbed hold of my legs. It's freezing. It's in the middle of summer. So, the water's kind of, you can kind of handle it for a while without a wetsuit. And I start singing to myself. And I start singing and I'm crying and I'm singing. And I thought, you know, whoever pulls me out of this boat is going to wish they'd never done it because I'm going to give them one hell of a fucking slap because they left me in this water. And they went off to Etienne's boat and chatted there. And, you know, the guy that was driving the boat knew how scared I am, but I don't think he really believed that I was this scared.
Are you, they didn't turn around and just get you?
No.
That's torture.
Like, you cannot believe. I started hearing the Jaws music in every heartbeat. It was like getting closer and closer. So by the time they got me, Sam, I got out of that water and I was so quiet.
Oh, my gosh.
I couldn't
say
a word. Just get me to the shore.
So and there's great whites underneath there, huh?
Huge. So I know what you mean by jumping in water that you just...
It's a feeling of that you're so small and something so big. Mm-hmm. You know, and a lot of times I'm trying to feel skinny, but that's the time I don't need to. I'd rather be the fat person. I'd rather be just like, you know...
Absolutely. Don't
want to feel that small. A friend of mine, though, because I'm thinking about starting to do some triathlon training and getting my equipment going, and we were talking about the open swim. Now, I worked the LA Tri back, I think, was it February, March? Somewhere. I can't remember when they had it, but... It was interesting, but it was one of the open swim was in the Pacific, right?
Yeah.
I think Santa Monica. And they said it was one of the hardest open swims. It just happened to be a day where the surf was so high. People losing their goggles, which is kind of normal. People get black eyes because there's so many people. They're sloshing around. People are getting churned up. Jeez. And they have to start over again. And it was scary. They said it was just the dark. The water was dark. It was just really scary. And a lot of people taking in water. One girl threw up. And that's kind of normal, but it was like the surf was so big. And she was just telling me about it. And I thought, you know, I want to start, you know, getting that down, but I don't know about, you know, this open swim thing on the ocean.
But are you a strong swimmer?
I actually am a strong swimmer.
Well, then you'll be good.
I was a swim teacher and I was on swim team.
You should get Etienne to do it with you.
Oh, yes.
He's such a good swimmer.
Really?
And he's a great runner and he loves biking.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's really a good swimmer.
See, I just think it'd be a rush, but there's just something about that open swim, man, where I'm like, okay. Okay.
Plus, it's freezing. I don't know how anybody can get in the water here.
Well, it's a wetsuit. You wear a wetsuit.
Yeah, man, in the summer, it's warm.
Even in the summer, it's freezing.
It's okay. You can work.
Clearly, you don't ocean.
I
won't
get in the water. I lived here 34 years. Never went in the water here.
Wow. And you've got your accent still strong.
Yeah.
It's
like in the 60s. I think the water.
Yeah, it's warm in the summer.
It's like 68.
Especially if you're moving around like you're going to be.
Yeah, yeah. No, this would be in October. I think that the tri's in October.
Okay, then the water will be cold.
Yeah, but man,
are you moving around?
I'm telling you, that's something that freaks me out. But she said when you see dolphins, it's a good sign.
Yeah.
Because you're swimming out there and you're seeing dolphins. I'm like, I don't need to be swimming with dolphins. But if you see dolphins, they say it's a good sign because there's no sharks. Did you know that?
Yes, I've heard that. I don't know how true that is.
I don't know why that's true.
Etienne surfs with the dolphins often, and Natasha. They're
really?
Very fortunate. Yeah, where we live, you have to come out with us sometime.
Oh, yeah.
Come for dinner. Bring your wife. We'd love to have you.
Yeah, it's fun. No, I'm serious.
I would love to.
We're very laid back. There's nothing pretentious about us.
Yeah.
You know, we just like to have a good time and giggle.
Exactly. And if I'm lucky, you'll touch my balls.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
You gotta go.
I'll have to corner you in one corner of the house.
I'll have to ask you to explain the painting to me.
Yes, exactly.
You're like, isn't there a painting I'm supposed to see? It's about 11 o'clock. They were pushing midnight. I haven't seen that painting. heroin painting. Really. Where is the painting?
We have the painting now, please.
Oh, man. Yeah, they live in a great part. You guys live in a beautiful
area. Yeah, we do. We're very
area.
Fortunate. Orange County, do you know?
Yes.
It's kind of hidden behind the orange curtain.
Yes.
You know, but the beauty of it is you have L.A. and you have San Diego as right. your playgrounds, you know. And there's a lot of cool places in Laguna Beach
right.
that are great to go to for evening life. And there's a lot of places in Newport.
Mm.
You know, we come up to L.A. a lot. We mm-hmm. we go to San Francisco a hell of a lot.
Do you really?
Yeah. Oh, my yeah. gosh. You
it's
know, your heartbeat.
There.
Oh, I love San Francisco.
Yeah,
it reminds me
really
of Cape
nice
Town.
Place.
Very cosmopolitan.
Yeah.
A lot going on. And you don't need money.
Yeah, a lot of culture. And
yeah, you can
like
go
that,
and
yeah.
do a lot of things in a day and not really spend a cent.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. I thought that San Francisco was beautiful.
Yeah.
And I actually went there and it was like sunny. Happened to be like so sunny. And I was like, what a dramatic city.
Yeah.
So beautiful.
Yeah, it really is. You know, there's a lot of beautiful places in the world, you know.
Unreal.
And they're going to China. You guys are going to China, right?
Yeah, we're going to China.
So today they're actually going to the...
The China consulate.
To get a visa?
Yeah, to get the visas, yeah.
Wow, how cool is that, huh?
Well, it was our 20th wedding anniversary this year.
Oh, congratulations.
And
we decided our goals were part of us being together for so long that we decided they need to celebrate with us. And China being the symbol for your 20th, we decided, we'll go to China.
Really? So you're all going to go?
Yeah, we're all going to go.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we're
doing
a tour.
So cool.
And you know, in Shanghai is the World Fair, Trade Fair.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Has it started already?
It started already, It's been on the go for like 3 months already. Yeah. So we're going to pick it because you
World
can't see
fairs are cool, you know.
Have you been to one?
No, I haven't. But they used to have them all the time.
Yeah.
No, I don't know that they have them often anymore, you know. But it's sort of like... a huge convention, you know, where you can
see of different countries,
right.
Promoting their best things, you know, their best qualities for that country. And I think what's happened is they've made it too expensive. The booths and that, you know, they've gone too elaborate.
Probably, yeah.
You know, can you imagine? I looked at some of them on the internet because we want to choose a few because you can't do them all.
Right.
Mm. Unless you're there for weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and you dedicate every day. And it's expensive to get in.
Mm.
You know, so you're paying, you know, you can go basically one day as a family.
Yeah.
You know, if it was just one person, then you could maybe spend 3 or 4 days, you know, around in the place. But there's some elaborate, beautiful shows, you know, countries showing off their delights of their country.
And China is amazing from what I'm hearing, you know. I mean, it's a culture shock, but, you know, I don't know if I could handle it, you know, because I like all the nice things. But they do have the five-star hotels and, you know, but the food is a problem for Westerners.
This is what they say. And you know what? We just went to Linda Way and we told Linda we're vegetarian. We're pescatarian, actually. We eat fish.
Right.
And we said, okay, you know, write down in Chinese for us some good things we can order.
Right.
You know, tell us what you think is a good thing we can order.
Yeah,
and write it
good.
Down for us.
Yeah.
And she did.
Really?
And we want to taste the culture.
Yeah.
You know, I don't
want
to go there and eat westernized food.
Yeah, you know.
I don't. Because that's not China.
But you don't want to eat dogs either, you know? I mean,
no, well, I don't know.
Carolyn.
I don't know.
Well, I don't eat meat, so that would be kind of hard.
Yeah, but Carolyn, I don't put it past her. I mean, she's going to go balls to the wall on anything. She's going to go balls to the wall. She's going to be the one first up. I'm going, me. Let's do it. Bring me your best.
Okay, bring me those human toes.
Let's do it. She's just, I mean, that's what I love about her. She's just living life to the max.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
And on that note, we're going to wrap up. Do you want to plug your business or anything? I mean,
no,
you said you only do it for friends and stuff, right?
Yes.
So everybody can imagine what it'd be like to have her over.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Sounds
good.
Well,
I mean, if anyone's interested and, you know, they're fun and they're nice people, then
contact
sure,
us.
Contact
Kara
and
Sam.
And we'll pass on the info. Yeah,
thank you.
Great.
Thanks for having me, man.
Of course,
thank
you're a
you.
Lot of fun. You're welcome back anytime.
You are
anytime.
So fun.
Very cool.
And all the best to you. Enjoy China. When are you guys leaving?
We leave in August.
Really?
Yeah, and you have a good time in
there.
Israel.
I will do that. Okay, Carolyn. And Kara, thank you so much.
You've got
thank
it. Be good,
and
Sam.
And we'll be back here tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 9 a.m. until 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, originating from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. If you have questions about the show or would like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondence to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.